I want to talk about the presence of God today, and particularly the presence of God as He comes to us. There's a scripture, you don't have to turn there, because we're going to actually go to Exodus, the old ancient book of Exodus. If you start at the beginning, you will find Genesis and then Exodus. It's on page 99, not very far into the Bible. Amen. On my Bible. If you all had Bibles like mine, then we'd be on the same page. But Exodus chapter 15. I'm going to start at verse 19. Amen. Because we go from celebration to desperation. Everybody say from celebration to desperation. It's amazing how quick these things can take place in our life in this fallen world and with an enemy that we have to face in this world. If one man, I don't know if it was Spurgeon or Moody, but one of these great preachers of old, a journalist, had heard him speak, and after the service said, "How can you, being an intelligent man, believe in an entity, a spiritual being called the devil?" Because in the sermon he had talked about our adversary. And he said simply back to him, he said, "If you don't believe there is a devil, why don't you try opposing him sometime?" Can you say amen? If you're doing anything for God that draws the attention of the enemy to your life, if you're a threat in any way, if you have a testimony of what God has done for you, you don't have to be a world-renowned evangelist. All you have to do is have the ministry of reconciliation. And Satan knows that you're a potential soul winner. Amen. And I'm not talking about millions or thousands. I'm talking about one soul. Satan will fight you for the sake of one soul. Amen. He doesn't want anybody saved. He can't hurt God any other way. The only way he can hurt God is by what he does to the object of God's love. Amen. Amen. That's how he hurts God. When Satan tries to hurt you or me, God feels it. We don't have a high priest that isn't touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace and mercy to help us in the time of our need. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is touched when we feel pain. God is touched when we are imprisoned with a habit or in a sinful condition. God's heart is broken. God's heart feels that pain. Amen. When the Bible said when Jesus saw the sick, he was moved with compassion. Isn't it great? There again is God feeling that. We kind of think that faith is the force that gets God's attention. No, love is already in place toward you. Faith is appealing to a heart that is already set upon you. Amen. That's why faith works so beautifully. Amen. And bountifully. And that's why it doesn't take big faith to get a big-hearted God, hallelujah, to help you in the time of your need. Amen? Mustard seeds can move mountains, biblically speaking. Because whatever touches the heart of God moves the hand of God. And when the hand of God moves, mountains become plains and molehills. Amen? I want you to listen to this today. I want to back up to Exodus 19 because I want to show you going from celebration to desperation and how quick it can happen. Listen to this. How many know that in Exodus here, Exodus is all about leaving Egypt. It's all about him bringing them out. I mean, today he said he brought them out, brought us out that he might bring us in. I mean, we have type and foreshadow in the Old Testament. We've been brought out of a kingdom of darkness. Amen. We've been translated out of a kingdom of darkness. But he doesn't just deliver us from the devil. He doesn't stop there. He didn't just bring them out of Egypt. He took them into the promised land. He took them into Canaan. Canaan is a type of the spiritual kingdom of God. It's not a type of heaven. Amen. You don't have to defend heaven from adversaries. There's no barriers. Once God gets you there, that's it. Amen. Praise God. But there's always opposition to the kingdom of God. In fact, the kingdom of God allows for us to use our faith in a way, amen, that will allow God to keep his promises in spite of the opposition. The kingdom of God allows violence, and the violent take it by force. Can you say amen? The devil didn't want to give up promised land, and the devil's people didn't want to give up the promised land. But they did, in fact, give up the promised land because God's people went over and took it by force. and not the force of their armies, but the force of their God who had promised them the land. Jericho's walls did not fall down because of battering rams that battered it. It wasn't a confession of faith that said it every day until the wall fell down. It was a God that said, shout, I have given you Jericho. I have... Oh, come on. I gave this to you. Amen. I'm doing this. Your faith is in the God who does it in your behalf. Hallelujah. Amen. So they didn't have to beat on nothing. Praise God. I love it when God says the battle isn't yours. The battle is mine. Amen. He said, in fact, he who calls the things not as though they were. God who says anything and watches over his word to perform it. Can you say amen? The reason he calls it not as though they were, because if he calls it, he's going to bring it to pass. Can you say amen? By the way, he hasn't given you divine character in the sense, or Christ is in you, but I'm going to tell you, you're the same old you. We have a treasure in an earthen vessel that the excellency of the power might not be of us, but be of who? The one who's within us. It's God. It's Christ in you. That's the only hope of glory. Not you ascending to some semi-deified state. Hello? You're not God's with a big G or little G. Amen. He's divine. You're the branch. Hallelujah. And if you take the branch from the vine, what happens to the branch? It withers, it dies. It can't bring forth fruit. It has no life in it. All that we are and all that we have comes from Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm glad it's set up that way. Amen. I don't want to be in charge and I don't want to be in control. I want someone. You know what I want God to do when my faith takes a hit? I want Him to lead me to that rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has been a shelter for me and a refuge from the enemy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't want faith in my faith. I want faith in my God. Because even if my faith wavers, my God won't. That's why the Bible calls Him the rock of our salvation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Upon this rock I will build my church. Thank God the church is founded on a rock. And the rock is the revelation of Jesus as the Son of God and our personal Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. But you can go from this celebration of some of the grandest victories in your life to a desperate situation. And it's vitally important that you understand that God is still there. Amen. So He brings them out. He brings them out. He sends the plagues on Egypt. We're getting ready to celebrate something that began with a Passover. Amen. And Jesus becomes our Passover. But this event here that they're about to celebrate indicates, amen, and was to be passed down generation to generation as the great Jewish Passover. When He passed over them, and it was the last plague. Amen. The death of the firstborn of all in Egypt, and that blood was those bloody doorposts and those bloody thresholds. Amen. Door was put over the top so it dripped onto the floor because it was applied with hyssop. It wasn't put on neatly. It was splashed on the top, and it was splashed on the two doorposts, and it dripped from the top to the threshold itself so that now there is no place that home is not covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when the angel sees the blood, he passes over them. And that set the standard and stage for them coming out of Egypt. And God brought them out through the blood of the Lamb. He brings us out through the blood of who? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are translated out of the powers of darkness. And we're brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. And it's all through the blood of Jesus. And we're getting to celebrate the Christ who is, according to the New Testament, our Passover. Yeah. Our Passover Lamb that was slain for us. They all drank out of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Amen. The only reason God could bless in the Old Covenant is because of that promise that looked forward to the New Covenant. This was type and foreshadow of that would come, and that would come has come. Can you say amen? And when they were so afraid the night before, amen, as they sat all night in the darkness and they could see the fires of the enemy. The only thing that they thought saved their skin really was God throughout, but as far as they were concerned, the enemy would have come on in and slaughtered them, except for one thing. It got dark and the enemy camped for the night, and they could actually see the campfires of the enemy where Israel camped in the night. And that's the hardest part that you'll ever face, is sitting there in the dark when God keeps you in the dark for a while. And you don't know how He's going to move. Well, you don't know why He even let the enemy get that close to you. Can you say amen? What's up with that? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You know, the Lord is never late. But we are impatient people. And the Bible talked about our great need in Hebrews chapter 10. It said, after you were illuminated. That means after that salvation doesn't begin with conviction alone. There's illumination. Flesh and blood does not reveal Christ, but only the Father. Can you say amen? Preacher can't intellectually convince anyone of that that's necessary to say. We just preach. The Holy Spirit has a role in this that is unique to Him. The Father, through His Spirit, reveals Christ. Flesh and blood does not. Amen. That's why when you hear a monotone sermon in ministries that absolutely... whether or not it's passionate like I'm preaching right now, I'm going to preach even more passionately, going to get more undignified than this. Can you say amen before this service is over? But you've heard those sermons that just drone on. I mean, you're talking about glorious things with an even emotion. It's like the person is reading it or just saying it because it's the correct thing to say, but there's no personal involvement in it other than the fact that I've been to college, I know how to speak, I'm using the right terminology, it is biblical, here it is. Can you say amen? I believe it came in power like the Bible said that it came. For this gospel did not come in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. That's why faith rises up. After you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. I want to tell everybody that comes to Jesus, amen, that doesn't mean that trouble isn't going to come. Amen. It doesn't mean that you can develop your faith to a hyper state where you can control all the circumstances of your life. It means that grace is vital to you. Amen. And patience is vital to you. Listen to this. Amen. The Bible said, partly while you were like your brethren who were made a gazing stock, I mean persecuted, put down, hurt and harmed in every way possible, and you've joined them in their afflictions. And here you are, a people that are going through things down in this fallen world. Amen. But you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that will come, shall come. And He will not tarry. That doesn't mean He's going to come in your time frame or mine. But when He says enough, it'll be enough. When He says for the wall to fall, it's got to fall. Amen. And Satan knows he can't stop God. He can only do one thing, and that's discourage you and me. Distract you and me, dissuade you and me, and thereby defraud you and me of this great promise. He that shall come is not about the second coming. It is not about anything concerning the rapture of the church. It's about God coming with healing in His wings to help you and me. It's God coming to deliver us. It's God becoming the rock of our salvation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He that shall come will come. Can you say amen? And He won't tarry. In other words, if we stay true to Him, He's going to address our need. And He's going to do it expeditiously. But we have need of what? Because He does all this in His timing. He does all this in His time. They sat for a night and they could see the fires of the enemy. And they knew at daybreak that enemy is going to break camp and rain down on them. Vengeance, because their sons had died. Amen? And they wanted blood for blood. And they blamed them for it. The Bible said when they walked out of Egypt, They that wanted to hold them so bad to enslave them and work for them and build their cities and carry their water and cook their food. You know what? It said they were glad to see them go. God had put such a hurt on them because they wouldn't let his people go that they were glad to see them go. Amen. God even went so far when Pharaoh balked, when he said, "Let my people go," the Bible said God hardened his heart. He said, now it's too late to let them go. Now I'm going to take them from you. Amen. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Our God is a man of war. Don't you ever forget it. Amen. Next time you're involved in spiritual warfare and battle, understand that our God is a warrior. And Jesus is a warrior king. Amen. And the Bible calls him the captain of the Lord's host. You know what that means? You know what it means to be the captain of the Lord's host? It means to be the commander in chief of heaven's armies. Say it with them, the commander in chief of heaven's armies. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you serve a warrior king today. He said, if you're not going to give them up because I tell you to, then I'm not going to allow you to do it. If you want to harden your heart, I'm going to let you do it. In fact, I'm going to make sure that you don't soften up. I want to show you that if you won't do it willingly, in spite of your will and in spite of your forces and your power that you think you have, there is a God in Israel. Can you say amen? There is a God in Israel. I am not going to let you give them up anymore, Pharaoh. I am going to take them from you. Can you say amen? Even though evil is intended in the book of Ezekiel, allied armies are going to invade Israel. When she's back in the land, armies are going to invade Israel. God is going to show the strength of his covenant to the entire world before Jesus sets foot on Mount Olivet. God is going to be glorified when people try to hurt his people. God is going to be glorified. Can you say amen? It said that they are going to come together and conspire. You can see those nations aligning themselves. Amen. Right now, they are aligning themselves. Russia is selling technology to Iran, anti-missile technology to Iran. Isn't it amazing that Iran and Russia are lining up with all of the rhetoric coming from Iran against the United States of America? More of a threat because they have went on record as saying we will destroy Israel. They tell me that in Iran and some of those regions, there are maps. Their maps in their schools of geography does not acknowledge Israel on the map as a nation. They want them annihilated. They don't care where they go. They want them to just be destroyed. They would rather they be destroyed than to become refugees of other nations and scattered again. So the Bible said they will look at Israel, and I believe that something's going to break down. This is I, not the Lord, my own personal perspective, that something in terms of the allegiances that have been to Israel in the past, some of those are going to break down. Because if they stand alone, they're kind of like an unwalled city. Can you say amen? And the Bible said that this allied army, amen, Russia is going to be part of that. Other nations around them, that Middle Eastern area, are going to be part of that. They are going to look as Israel as an unwalled city, something that could not be defended against such a force that is coming against it. And I believe every prophecy preacher, teacher that's worth his salt or her salt would say to us and to everyone who would listen this morning, pray that whoever's leading this nation, amen, at this critical time, will not back off from our commitment to stand with that little nation about the size of New Jersey, which is the epicenter of all the prophetic statements in the Bible. Can you say, man, I just ministered on the radio about God's timepiece is the nation of Israel. Can you say, man, it's all about, listen, the Middle East, what is the biggest boiling point in all the Middle East is not the insurgents in Iraq. It's what's happening in that little nation of Israel. It's like all the turmoil is because one little nation exist, wants to live and coexist and be let alone, but other nations deny their right to an existence. Above the Holocaust Museum, amen, there is a little statement made, and I believe God was in that statement, not just the resolve of men and women who had been through the horrendous horror of 6 million men, women, and children, non-combatants, mind you. This is not an army that fell on a field of battle. These are innocent, unarmed people that were slaughtered like cattle, slaughtered like black lambs, can you say amen? Amen. Above the Holocaust Museum, there's a simple statement, and that statement is never again. And if you read the ancient prophecies, God, amen, amens that statement with His own true word and says never again. So when this great alliance lines up to come down into Israel, you know what? Instead of God saying, I'm going to try to convince them and negotiate and get them to turn back, He does the same thing He did with Egypt. The Bible said He put a hook in their jaw to pull them to Israel. He says, if you're coming, come on. Because it will test, is there a God in Israel? All these great battles you read about in here was proving a point. There is a God in Israel. And not just a God, but the very God. Can you say amen of the universe? Jesus is not just Lord of the Christian church in the Western Hemisphere. Jesus is a universal Lord. Can you say amen? God is not just our God because of our religious view. He is the God. Hallelujah. And above Him there is no other. Glory to God. He said their gods that they have made for themselves has eyes that see not, ears that hear not, and hands that touch not. Your God has eyes that see, ears that hear, and hands that move. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. He said, I'm going to put a hook in their jaw and draw them. Amen. If they're coming, I'm going to make sure they come on because I want to prove my covenant and the strength of my promises and that I am the universal King of kings and Lord of lords. And armies can't stop my word and my promises and my covenant. So God demonstrated that in ancient deliverance from Egypt. And in all of their quivering and quaking. And by the way, don't be so hard on Thomas's doubt and Peter's failure. And identify with these people. And know that God kept reaching. God kept using. God didn't throw that clay away. He just took the flaw out and built that vessel like He wanted. I think the vessel was so soft after those failures that it helped and it actually fell in line. Self-failure coming to an end of yourself can actually fall in line with what God wants to do in our life. I've come to an end of myself. It don't take long for me to get the end of me. It's not because I'm 5'7" either. Can you say, man? Jimmy takes a while to get the end of himself. He's much taller. That's not how this works. Amen. I'm so glad I'm not trying to build my emotional fortitude anymore. I'm not trying to build my faith to a hyper level where I control everything. I can be some kind of a semi-deity or some kind of a pseudo-God. I don't want to be God. That's way too big for me. I want to be like David, who looks to his God and says to his God when he's so weak and fallible. Amen. He says to God when he's so weak and vulnerable. He says, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, oh God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You've been my shelter. You've been my refuge. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Faith doesn't work from a standpoint of strength. Faith doesn't work from a standpoint of strength. Grace doesn't flow, amen, up to where you are in faith. Grace does not flow straight, amen, perpendicular to where you are in faith. Faith, grace always flows in one direction. Grace flows down. Can you say amen? Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Amen. On Christmas morning, over 2,000 years ago, God came down to us. Hallelujah. Woo! Grace flows down, down, down to you and me. He reaches down to lift the man up who was in need. He reaches down to David in the miry clay. Can you say, man? God reaches down and lifts him up. Faith originates with God. It's not something you do that you can brag about. It originates in Him. Christ is the beginning and end, the A to Z, the Alpha, the Omega, the initiator and the completer of our faith. Amen. Glory to God. So here's the celebration. God parts the Red Sea. And nobody knows what to do. I mean, it's going to be all God. I mean, Moses doesn't come out with great faith except to do what God tells him. That's all he's asking. He's not asking him to do one supernatural thing, anything beyond the human ability to do. He said, "What do you have in your hand?" He said, "The rod that you told me to take and show Pharaoh that you were God with. The rod that became a serpent and his serpents became serpents. And this serpent that became a serpent due to the rod of God consumed the other serpents." The devil's power was in manifestation there. This was not a trick. These magicians were not sleight of hand. This was magic in the sense of tapping the supernatural world of darkness. And I want you to know, in every power encounter, and there will be down through life, these power encounters are still taking place. Sometimes over nations, sometimes over households, these power encounters are taking place. Amen. In the cosmos, power encounters are taking place. Amen. Don't get scared. Amen. God has never lost a power encounter. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Satan tried to stand up and go toe-to-toe with God, just like he did in heaven. What happened when he stood up and tried to go toe-to-toe with God in heaven? Jesus said, it was a short fight. Don't go out for a drink of water. Can you say amen? Don't go out for popcorn. Amen? Amen. If you come for this one, amen, in this side, you know, the powers of darkness, and in this side, amen, the Lord of hosts. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on. Can you say, well, they got it on. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Glory to God. Can you say amen? What happened when the powers of darkness kicked in? When the powers of darkness kicked in that was behind the false gods of Pharaoh? Amen. This serpent, amen, the serpents looked identical, except that God's serpent opened his mouth and swallowed up all the other serpents, gobbled them down. I believe it belched. I just can't help but believe it. I just believe there was a big old serpent belch that went, "Wah!" Wouldn't it be just like God to have that snake belch? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. They should have known right then they were up against an absolute force that nothing could contend with, not even the powers of darkness that was behind the idols of Egypt. But they didn't get it. They didn't even get it when the plagues came supernaturally into the land. They didn't get it when their firstborn died. But they were about to get it when the Red Sea parted to let God's people cross. And they pursued in their anger, their angst, their wrath. They pursued them. And those waters came back together. If you think they were knee-deep, like some Bible scholars would have you think, to explain away every miracle in the Bible, then it's a greater miracle, as one young man said, than I thought at the beginning, because God drowned Pharaoh's army with horses and chariots in knee-deep water. Somebody give God praise in this room. How ridiculous can you get? You remove the supernatural, you throw the Bible out the window. Oh, but when God's people saw that, it was time to celebrate. This is a victory. Supernaturally, God-given victory. How many has ever celebrated a victory? Amen. How many know that you can go from that celebration to a life circumstance that makes you desperate from celebrating a victory, delighting in a victory, to desperate, to questions? Listen to Miriam's song in verse 19 of Exodus. God has just done this. And Moses has had a song, and now Miriam's going to have her song. This is Miriam's song. "For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went out on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand." And all the women went out with her with timbrels and dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea." Our God is a man of war. Somebody give him praise in here today. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. But the story isn't over. Verse 22 talks about a place called Marah. So here they go. They've been delivered with such a great deliverance. They expect to slide in. Everybody seen a water slide? You people 40 and over, don't jump on that thing. You don't scoot as well as the children do. You're not as flexible as they are. Some things you should stay off of. Can you say? There are things at my age I should not get near, let alone get on. Amen. I'd never want to get on a bull at a rodeo. Amen. Now, when I was 19 or 20, I might have braved one, but amen. Now, I wouldn't get on a sick cow. I don't want to fall. I wouldn't want to fall from the back of the thing to the ground because my bones are more brittle than they used to be. Amen. I had a healing take place in me, amen, that was about 2 weeks ago that I thought sure I was going to have to go to the doctor with if God didn't step in, because I went to grab something and I leaned over this glass, plexiglass barrier to grab it and pull, and I had to pull a bottle loose from a big blade that had it caught, and the blade was under about 100 pounds of air pressure, and I had to try to pull it out from behind it to get it loose, and I was pulling and I thought, I'm going to get that thing loose. I mean, I felt like Samson there for a minute. I thought, I'm going to do it. I could do it. I got strength in my arm, but my rib was laying right on that thing, and my arm had the strength. Amazing. I pulled that thing loose, but right as it was about to come loose, I heard something go pop right up in my rib cage, and then the pain came, and the pain stayed, and I'd get down in the floor with my doggie, because she likes me to get down there at night and waller her, and I'd get down to waller my dog, and the pain would hurt, and I'd have to stop, and I cried louder than the dog cried. Some, I mean, really, it hurt. Coming home from a church service, I went to visit my mama. It hurt so bad I wanted to pull over. Just doing the wheel like that, the pain had been exacerbated because I'm still working, and I stayed in a praise service. Amen, you think I'm just here killing time. I'm not. Amen, afterglow, God is here. We've heard the word. Our faith has been lifted up. Can you say, man, I expect miracles, and I kept holding myself right here saying, Lord, I need this to do today too. Praise God. Lord, I just worship you and I praise you. Hallelujah. And then I went to work. I came home that night, wallered my dog. Praise God. I drove home. There's still a tenderness where it was, but that's because it's being completely healed. But what he did was instant, Pamela, from just hurting to turn the wheel of my truck to driving home without the pain, getting down in the floor with Sophie without the pain, going to work and doing my job and pulling floats without the pain. Hallelujah. Our God is a mighty, wonderful, powerful, intervening God. Listen to this. Amen. So Moses, verse 22, brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. S-H-U-R. Now, one Bible scholar interpreted this word Shur, I believe accurately, to this wilderness of Shur. It was such a thick wilderness, or else it was such an imposing wilderness. I'm not sure of the geographical situation. But I know the word Shur, it was given a name that indicated the kind of place that they ran up against and into. They're out. Now they're going in. And they go from this tremendous delight to desperation. They don't have any water. Let me tell you what Shur means. S-H-U-R, the Hebrew. A wall. They came out of Egypt, celebrated a victory that was totally supernatural, and suddenly they hit a wall. A wall. Did you hear that, Sister Venable? A wall. Amen? Satan shows you something too. He's going to exaggerate it on top of its ordinary, natural, imposing situation. When they went into the promised land and they saw Jericho, what was their report? We saw cities there that were walled, How far? Up to heaven. Can you say amen? You couldn't get over it with a helicopter. It goes all the way to heaven. Can you say amen? You couldn't get past it with a jet plane. It goes all the way to heaven. You couldn't get through it with a satellite circling the earth because it goes up to heaven. That's how overwhelming it seemed. They hit a wall. Isn't it amazing that you come out of such victory and boom, you hit a wall. It may be a financial wall, a physical wall. You may fall into some habit or sin that you can't seem to break, but you hit a wall after you get saved. Amen. Let me tell you something about our God. Our God is a specialist, amen, at dealing with these things. He knows how to deliver the righteous, not from hitting walls, but in spite of hitting walls. Can you say amen? No one would have ever heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego if they just lived in peace and prosperity and never hit a wall. But they hit a wall of opposition, and God, hallelujah, in spite of the wall, got glory in His deliverance. Can you say amen? Part of the wall was the place they were in, and part of the problem in the place they were in sure, was no water and thirst. I'll tell you, as long as you got access to lots of water, we were in Haiti and we ran out of drinking water because we didn't realize the heat and humidity. There's a river there. I mean, Brother Spain and I, we were bathing in this river, you know, and way downstream we saw them bring a donkey. And they brought the donkey and we're bathing the donkey in the river down upstream from us. You know, and we're downstream watching these people come in with the donkey. And so we're bathing in the river. You can't drink this water. You cannot, must not drink this water. And we're looking down the way. And, you know, maybe 50 yards down, we could see this donkey down there. And it raised its tail. And the donkey decided, you know, this is nice. It's like being in a spa. The only thing that would make this better is if I had a good BM right here in the river. So, you know, the donkey don't care. And they don't seem to care. It don't bother them. But we see now the donkey, you know, they fed him well. It was coming down to us. And so there's nothing to drink. We ran out of water. And when you run out of water, you're not worried about if you got enough hairspray for the evening service. Can you say, man, that doesn't count anymore. Amen. What you need moisture. It's a hot, humid place. And we went and were able to purchase fruit on that last day. And we squeezed the juice from the fruit and drank the juice instead of water. But everything, we were all consumed with thirst. They were so consumed with thirst. And they hit this place. They were in this place. And when they came, by the way, Mara. Amen. And when they came to Mara, this was a well. And why they called it Mara, they might have wanted to put a skull and crossbones up by it. Because it was bitter, and it was bitter because it was poison. It wasn't just the taste. It was undrinkable. It would have killed them and killed animals. And I would imagine maybe the carcasses of dead animals who can't read were laying around that pool. And yet this intense thirst is here. There's no water anywhere. And what they found was bitter. Now disappointment and discouragement is seeping into their lives. Because they're at the bitter waters. So thirsty. And yet at the bitter waters of Mara. Ruth's mama-in-law had lost her son. Had lost her husband. And felt like God had played a dirty trick on her. Amen. And she began to go by a name that meant Mara, bitter. She began to talk about her bitterness, and the word Mara was used. Amen. Trials will make you better if you look to Christ and trust Him and patiently wait, because he that shall come and will not tarry. Our trials will make you bitter because you hit a wall. And you don't understand why and where God is and why He's allowed or permitted this to happen. Can you say amen? The Bible goes on to say He would test them there. Amen? That He would test them there. That He would test them there. You see, there are tests in the Christian faith. Amen? They're a test of your authenticity. They're a test of how dedicated you are to God and His Word. If God speaks and it's settled, and someone has a dream and interprets the dream, and the dream goes against what God's already said, so the Lord will try you with that. He'll see where your heart really is. He'll see if you've got divided loyalties or not. If there wasn't an option, He wouldn't know where your heart was. You wouldn't know where your heart was. He knows. But you wouldn't know. Amen? But He'll find out through testings that He permits. You can stand up here and sing, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. And you know, you can probably really sing it authentically. It was good for Paul and Silas, because it was good for Paul and Silas. Amen? It will do when I'm a-dying. It will. It'll hold you when you're dying. That hope, it's a blessed hope that death can't cancel. Can you say amen? But here's the part that you're probably going to have a problem being honest about. And need God to search your heart to see if it be so. Makes me love. It'll take us all to heaven, they used to sing. Man, of course it's going to take you to heaven. Makes me love everybody. See, you'll be tested on that sooner or later. I'm going to be tested on that. And I'm going to be tested by somebody that's very difficult to love. Amen? Amen? And they're going to come along, and God's not going to make them sweet so I can love them. Amen? He wants to work in me. He wants to work in you. We're working through some forgivenesses right now. You don't sometimes get it like that. A lot of times it's a process where you commit yourself to obey God in spite of what you feel. Amen? Everybody say, sure. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come to try you, some strange thing has happened unto you. Yea, this is the way I deal with my children, saith the Lord. But I am with you in the trial. I am the wind that comes over the wall to refresh you. I am the wind beneath your wings. Yea, my spirit has no limitations. There's no place you are that I will not find you and come to you, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise in this room. No place you are that He won't find you and come to you. You say, Brother Bubba, how does this all relate to communion? I'm not done yet. Listen to this. Therefore, the name, the waters were bitter. Here's disappointment. Number one, we're thirsty. We can't find water. And when we do find water, it adds to the disappointment. It's bitter. Our hopes now are dashed, what little hope we had. We found water, but there's a big sign that says, Mara, bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Everybody said, for sure, you're going to hit a sure in your life. There will be walls. And so Moses cried unto the Lord in verse 25. And the Lord showed him a tree. The Lord showed him a tree. Long before they ever got to that wall of circumstance, God had seeded and grew a tree. You don't understand. This is not some little by statement that you just read over. God planted the tree. It took years for it to grow to wherever it was. Amen. But it was small enough yet that you could actually take that thing or a limb from that thing and you could do something with it. Can you say, man? You could apply a branch of a tree that God... Is there a tree? Since Egypt is the type of the world, since the deliverance from Egypt, the Passover carries over into our salvation. And Jesus Christ being the Passover lamb, the Paschal lamb. Amen. Is there a tree in our salvation? Is there something about wood in our salvation? Can you say, man, is there something, amen, that something needs to be applied to that has been made so poisoned and so bitter that will change everything? Can you say, amen? Hallelujah. Oh, la bakisa la maria. Amen. The Bible said, amen, He was made a curse for us. Amen. For cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Can you say, man, Jesus was nailed to a cross of wood, a wood that God grew, amen, and that was used for the purpose of hanging my Savior on it. Some tree was cut down that God grew, can you say, man, because man can go to the moon and may even make it to other planets, but there's something he can't do. He can't do what God did by the waters of Mirah. He can't grow a tree. He can't grow a living thing. He can't make nothing that is inanimate, animate. Amen. Only people can do that is people with the gift of God in them from the day they're born. We can procreate, but science cannot fashion nor create. Can you say amen? Even if they take something out of the body and grow it, they have to have the seed from the body to do it. There's a tree here, and it's a type of Calvary. It's a type of the cross of Jesus. And those bitter waters is another type of sin and its devastating poison power in our life. Hallelujah. It's also a type of circumstantial walls and what God wants to apply. Amen. For these walls to be, amen, overcome. Praise God. And the Lord showed him a tree which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Therefore he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved or tested them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken. Listen, God wants you to keep on keeping on. He don't want you to get discouraged. He don't want you to get distracted. He don't even want you seeking healing if you need it or help if you need it as much as seeking to continue to obey and serve him. You didn't hear me today. The path to healing is not just getting healed. He wants a heart commitment that says, no matter what, I bow to no other God. No matter what. We sing that song, amen, that he gives and takes away. But blessed be his name. Can you say amen? Listen to this. And they took the, listen, and all of a kisonda de balita tadabakisala, le sholobokolaba. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commands, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee that are brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that. And how do I heal you? The cross. Everybody say the cross. The cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. Isaiah 53 said he took our sicknesses, carried our diseases in Isaiah 53:3. What an incredible God that we serve. Hallelujah. And they came to Elim where there were 12 wells of water. Boy, if you just get past that wall. Everybody say, if I can just get past this wall. And they came to Elim where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. That's 40 palm trees. No, score is 20. 70. Oh, isn't that great? Works out better. That's one of the numbers God likes. Can you say amen? Number of completion. 70 palm trees and 12 wells. Woo! Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Glory to God. But they had to get past a wall. They had to go through a test. Amen. And God said, I'm going to get you through this wall by supernaturally taking waters that had the potential to hurt you and harm you and making them sweet. When trials look, and God, if you will trust God through it, what he's going to do, you're going to look at the sweet communion. You're going to look at the sweet time in prayer. You're going to look at the sweetness of grace and love that flows down to you. Amen. Even behind that wall, he will find you and come to you. Can you say amen? He's going to sweeten those bitter waters of your heart. And when he gets that issue settled, he's going to give you what you need to get past that wall. And when you get past the wall, there's 70 palm trees and 12 wells waiting for you. Somebody say 70 palm trees and 12 wells. If I can just get past the bitter trial, the bitter pain, the bitter heart. If I can just get this sweetened up right now, right here, I can go on past here. I can't get past here till the cross is applied. But when the cross is applied, I can pass this wall. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him glory. Somebody give Him honor. It can make you bitter when you hit a wall. Amen. But apply the cross. Consider Him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be weary and faint in your own mind. Give Him praise. Hearken to His word. Stand on it. Hallelujah. Give Him praise in Mara, and God will give you blessing. Somebody give Him praise in this room. And here's the closing scripture. And we're going to celebrate that tree of wood and that one who hung on it. Psalm 139, 7 through 10. I read this for Sister Sigelski because she had a tumor growing down in her lower abdomen, and it was huge. The surgeon who removed it said it was humongous. Said it was a tumor the size of a basketball. And on top of that, it was cancerous. Cancer cells were in it. It wasn't benign. They got it like my mother when she had cancer. They got it all, and it hadn't spread. And the doctor was absolutely amazed. Before we didn't want her to go into surgery. We wanted her to be delivered and the doctor to redo his prognosis. But she had to go all the way. She hit a wall in her life. You can hit a wall, my brother and my sister, but as long as we apply the blood of Jesus and the cross to that wall, amen. And do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, amen.
God, I went into her, Pamela and I both, we went in just before her surgery. And I opened my Bible to this scripture. Listen, whether shall I go? See, Satan will sit on your shoulder and say, well, why is it God showed up? Where's God? Why did God let this happen? Where's your God? Why don't God love you? Why don't God help you? Where's God? Where's God? He said, just keep on keeping my word. Keep on walking in my statutes. Keep on proving your faith by obeying me and listening to me in spite of this distracting circumstance. Amen. Apply the blood of Jesus to your situation. Apply the cross to your situation. Look to Calvary. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Question mark. Verse 7 of Psalm 139, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell under the uttermost part of the sea, thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Not only does He lead you, but He holds you up, upholds you. No matter what you're facing, God is there. No matter how distant God may seem, He is there. No matter how deep the discouragement or how dark the night, God is there. He's not sitting aloof in His heaven, unconcerned and unapproachable. He is with us. David looks up to the heavens. David looks down to the earth. David looks east, the wings of the morning. David looks west. And from his standpoint, it would be the Mediterranean Sea. No matter where David could imagine being, he could not imagine being there without the presence of God. Somebody give Him praise in this room today.
Yeah, Lord.
Hallelujah! One of my favorite poems is by Annie Johnson Flynn. Oh, before I read that, you don't have to go looking for trouble concerning these tests. Trouble will find you. I mean, no trouble will find you. Your wall will come to you. A grandfather told the humorous story. I love it when grandfathers and grandsons or fathers and sons or mothers and daughters or sons and mothers. And I like it when families really get along, and legacy is left. He said, when my grandson Billy and I entered our vacation cabin, we kept the lights off until we'd gotten all of our gear inside and the door closed. So as not to attract, now this city kid, I mean, he didn't live out there in the boonies like you guys. Amen. He didn't know what a cow was and all that stuff. So the guy, you know, he just says, Granddad says, keep the lights off because there's mosquitoes out here. You know, ooh, what do they do? Little vampires with wings, you know, and all this stuff. You know, he's a city kid. But he says, so he pulled everything inside. And before they turned the lights on, made sure the doors and screens are all shut. Still, a few fireflies, or lightning bugs as we used to call them, were able to follow us in. Noticing them before I did, Billy whispered, it's no use, Grandpa. The mosquitoes are coming after us with flashlights. I thought that was kind of neat. Don't you just feel like sometimes the devil has a big spotlight, he's turned it on you so everything hell's got can just say, okay, that's the person we're to nail today. And I'm not minimizing our painful situations. They're real. One of my favorite poems about grace and presence is Annie Johnson Flint, who went through some deep valleys of difficulties. People that have been in deep valleys can talk our language when we go through them. We may love the mountaintop preachers on the mountaintop, but when you're in a valley, the last thing you need is a preacher that implies if you're not up on this mountain of faith, then you can't expect God to help you. You need somebody that said, hey, hey, he's in the valley too. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this room. Glory to God. Somebody that's been there and found out it's not your faith in your faith that is sustaining you, but he that's higher than you. Woo! Lead me to the rock that's what? Higher than I, bigger than my faith, bigger than anything I've got. And he's committed in heartfelt love for me. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. Fear not that thy need shall exceed his provision. Our God ever yearns his resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting, availing. The Father both thee and thy load will upbear. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known to men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Grace flows down. Everybody say it again. Grace flows down to you. And it flows down to me. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to read just a couple of stories of people in valleys. Sometimes sin puts us there. Sometimes it's that God may be glorified. Yes, one man who had a physical malady, blindness, who sinned. His parents or him? Jesus said, neither. But that the Father be glorified in answering and meeting that need. Isn't that incredible and amazing that my need may bring glory to God in the answer of that need, the addressing of that need? The way he chooses to do that. I recently read the story of a woman who said that as a girl she was poor. She said, I grew up in a cold water flat, but I married a man who had money. And he took me up to a place where I had flowers, I had gardens, I had grass. It was wonderful. And we had beautiful children. Then suddenly I became physically sick. I went to the hospital. The doctors ran all sorts of tests. One night the doctor came into my room and with a long look on his face said, I'm sorry to tell you this, but your liver has stopped working. I said, Doctor, wait a minute. Now see, everything is smooth, but she hit a wall. She wasn't a Christian prior to this. Everything was smooth. What's she need God for? I mean, everything's okay. But suddenly, there's a wall. And suddenly, marrow, bitterness has come. Wait a minute, are you telling me I'm dying? And he said, I can't tell you any more than that. Your liver stopped working. And we've done everything we can to start it. And he walked out. He's gone. I knew I was dying. I was so weak, I had to feel my way along the corridor down to the chapel of the hospital. I wanted to tell God off. See, bitter bitter, bitter, bitter. The cross changes that if we let it. And we get it's out of our heart we can get healing in our life for our heart and our bodies. Listen, I wanted to tell God off, you are a shyster. You've been passing yourself off as a loving God for 2,000 years, but every time anyone begins to get happy, you pull the rug out from under them. I wanted this to be a face-to-face telling off of God. And just as I got into the center aisle of the chapel, I tripped, I swooned, and I fainted. I looked up, and there stenciled along the step into the sanctuary where the altar is, I saw these words, "Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner." What a revelation. I know God spoke to me that night, she says. I know He did. She didn't say how God communicated this to her, but what God said was, you know what this is all about? It's about the moment of surrender. It's about bringing you to that moment when you will surrender everything to me. These doctors, they do the best they can, but they only treat. I am the only one that can cure you. And she said there with my head down on my folded arms in the center of the chapel, repeating, "Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner." I surrendered to God. I found my way back to my hospital bed, weak as I was. The next morning after the doctor ran blood tests and the urinalysis and so forth, he said, "Your liver has started working again." We don't know why. We don't know why it stopped. And we don't know why it started up again. And I said in my heart, "But I know, oh, but I know, God has brought me to the brink of disaster just to get me to turn my life over to Him." Can you say amen? God takes bitter waters and makes them sweet. And once those waters become sweet, there's 70 palm trees with 12 wells. Somebody say, if I can get past this wall of bitterness, there's 70 palm trees. And there's 12 wells. Some of you look like you're going through a dry season. You don't look like you're living where there's 70 palm trees and 12 wells. I could sell some tonic in here. There's one cartoon character said, "Dad was a snake oil salesman, but we never had much because people don't oil their snakes much these days." Amen. Wouldn't it be great to get in this place that God wants to bring us? He don't want to leave you at Marah. He wants to apply the cross to Marah, like He did with Corrie Ten Boom, got that bitterness out of her heart. Amen. And let her bless the nations of the world with her love and His love flowing through her. The bitterness of watching her sister die in Ravensbrück concentration camp could have left her marred her whole life, but it didn't because she applied the cross. If God forgave you for Christ's sake, amen, hanging on that cross, ought ye to forgive everybody else. Surrender it to God. Surrender it to God. The wall, listen, it may not be that you're bitter at God, but the wall can just make you bitter over the circumstance. Honey, I have prayed before and I was in pain and the answer didn't come immediately. And I would fight that rising up inside of me. It says, "God, if you've got all this power, help me." And He was proving me. Will you keep my word? Will you preach my word? Will you still hearken to me? Will you still praise me on Sunday morning? Yeah, Lord, I'm going to. Ah, what said I smell? I smell water, but the heart pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after Thee. Oh, God. What did you come to church for today? What is your spiritual relationship with the Lord? Where is your joy today? I got it in a can under the bed. You need to pull that sucker out sometime because the joy of the Lord is what you need to strengthen you for the walls that you're going to hit in life. In His presence is what? A mundane, mediocre, we just go through the motion. No, there's fullness of joy. Let me finish with some testimony. There's no service tonight because I'm scheduled to do things with and for my mom, and no one else can do certain things, and I haven't seen her yet, and I got to go tonight and spend some time and get some things ready for in the morning. We're kind of up against the wall.